following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
Church, it's good to be with you this morning. You have your Bibles this morning. We're going to look at a couple of verses in Jeremiah chapter 17. And then we'll get to our main passage in Genesis chapter 41. We are looking at the life of Joseph and the seasons that he is going through. All the trials, tribulations, the troubles, all the things that God is doing in his life to prepare him for what lies ahead. Right now, where we're at, we have entered into a time what some people consider to be the harvest time. They are looking at the blessing of the harvest. Maybe not so this far south, but up north, there are crops being harvested in just a few months, not too far from now. You'll see the sugar cane trucks running up and down Highway 90 in the interstate, delivering their harvest for the year. We count that as a blessing. What do you count in your life as a blessing? What is God blessing you with right now? What has God blessed you with? Every day you should be looking at something that you count as a blessing. But this time of year, we've got football going on. We got hunting season going on. We got many different things going on. But we are in the harvest time when people talk about the blessing of the harvest. So this time of year, there's several things that I always look forward to. Right now at my house, it looks like Hobby Lobby blew up. There's pumpkins and scarecrows and little signs with leaves all over the place. We're celebrating the harvest right now. But I always enjoy getting out in the woods during this time of year when it cools off a little bit. Man, there's nothing better than sitting in the deer stand with a hot cup of community dark roast and a Little Debbie snack cake. How many of you like to have an oatmeal cream pie every now and then? Let me enlighten you on something. Here's one thing that I look forward to every year about this time. Usually around August, I'll start looking for them. Let me introduce you to the greatest Little Debbie cake ever made. I look for these things and I stockpile them. They're good till about February or so. So, you know, it doesn't hurt to put a few extra boxes up. I thought this was the greatest one ever. Until I found this one. This is one's kind of like a little pumpkin roll. It's got a little cream cheese filling inside of it. Man, these things are delicious. But in the morning with a cup of coffee, if you want to grab something that's just a little quick snack bite, yeah, I got all kinds of blessings, man. This time of year is good to me. These little tasty cake, and it's got to be the Tasty Cake brand, pumpkin spice. Man, these things are good. They're addictive, too. So these are some things that I consider to be a blessing this time of year. I got the little notification on my Dairy Queen app. Guess what's back? Pumpkin pie blizzards. I can't wait for that. Now, I'm not all about the pumpkin spice latte. I like my community dark roast, but if somebody wanted to bring me a pumpkin spice latte, I would count that as a blessing, you know. There's many different things this time of year that we consider to be blessing. And sometimes what I consider to be a blessing in my life, you may not think it as much of a blessing or so. Joseph has gone through so many things in his life. He thinks that God is just all up against him. He's been separated from his family. He's been thrown in prison. He's been lied about. And he's wondering, God, you gave me these dreams. I had two separate dreams where something good was going to happen in my life. When is that going to take place? We are about to enter into the season of blessing for Joseph. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I've been trying to connect some different scriptures and passages along with what we're learning about the life of Joseph. So if you have your Bibles this morning, Jeremiah chapter 17, let's all stand. What Jeremiah writes here in chapter 17, verses 7, 8 is very, very similar to what the psalmist writes in Psalms chapter 1. You'll see a lot of the verbiage and the analogies come forward from this. And so he talks about a time of harvest for someone who trusts in the Lord. He says, beginning in verse 7, blessed is the man, boy, girl, man, woman, who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. And he will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and he will not be anxious in the year of drought. That is very, very connected to what we're fixing to see happen in the life of Joseph, where he's at. He will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Let me just ask you this question. If you believe that your life has been blessed by the Lord, number one, are you trusting in Him? And number two, what kind of fruit are you bearing at this moment in your life? Let's go to the Lord and pray. Father God, we thank you so much for loving us. And God, we just thank you for the example of Joseph, his faithfulness, what he's gone through. And we're just thankful, Lord God, that the seasons that we go through in life, Lord, you don't leave us there. Your word says in the book of Psalms that, yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, it's not a place that will stay or reign forever, but it's just a time that we're passing through in our lives. So I pray for everyone here today, Lord God, no matter what season they're in, no matter what stage of life they're in, no matter what they're going through, I pray, Lord God, that just like Jeremiah says here in 17, that they would trust in you, Lord God, that they would dig their roots in deep, and they would trust in you as their source of blessing. We just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're picking up in Genesis chapter 41. Joseph has been thrown in prison. There he meets a butler and a baker. The butler and the baker on the same night have a dream, two separate dreams. One ends up good for the butler. One ends up very, very bad, detrimental for the baker. Joseph asks the butler, remember me when you go before Pharaoh. Please remember me, where I'm at, what I've told you, what I've helped you out with. So we see here in 41 that 2 years has passed since that time. It says, beginning of verse 1, that when it came to pass at the end of 2 years, that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. The dream that Pharaoh had was kind of confusing to him. Seven cows came up from the river. They were fat. They were healthy. They were in good shape. They were grazing in the field, and all of a sudden, seven more cows came up out of the river. They were skinny. They were unhealthy. They did not look good, and they consumed the healthier cows. He woke up. He was disturbed. He had another dream somewhat similar to that. This time, seven heads of grain come up out of the river. They're plump. They're full. They're healthy looking. But then all of a sudden, seven more heads of grain come up out of the river. They're covered in blight. They're dry. They're not as healthy as the other ones, and they consume the healthier stalks. And it says that in the morning when Pharaoh woke up, that his spirit was troubled. And so then we see that the butler is there. He overhears what's going on. The chief butler speaks to Pharaoh. He says, I remember my false these days. There's someone I know that interprets dreams. And so here's what I want you to see beginning in verse 13. We're going to read this part in just a moment. But blessings often come during unexpected seasons. Let's look at verse 9 through 13. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day, when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard. Both me and the chief baker, we each had a dream in one night. He and I, each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now, there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dreams, and it came to pass just as he interpreted for us. So it happened, he restored me to my office, and he hanged him, talking about the baker. So the season that you're in, it's not going to last forever. And even in a time of bad seasons, even in a dry time of life, even in a time of life when things are going bad, sometimes blessings will often come from an unexpected place during an unexpected time. You can't always predict when these blessings are going to occur. Now, why did the butler, after 2 years, suddenly remember Joseph? Why did he not remember what Joseph had asked him to do when he interpreted his dream. Let me ask you this. Have you ever forgotten anything? Don't look at your neighbor. I'm talking to you. Don't look across the room. Have you ever forgotten anything? I mean, you've tried to tell a story and all of a sudden, man, I can't remember that person's name. I just don't. It has completely left my mind. Has something ever slipped your mind and you can't recall a certain piece of information? Well, here's hope. Maybe, just maybe, the Lord has caused you to forget that for a specific reason. Don't use that as a scapegoat. Sometimes there's a lot more involved in that. But sometimes maybe God is protecting you or someone else from something going on that you don't know about or they don't know about. Here's my point. What if the butler had remembered Joseph 2 years earlier? What if the butler had said, hey, there's a Hebrew. He needs to get out of prison. He was wrongly accused. He needs to be set free. Now, if you were Joseph and you got released from prison and you experienced freedom, where would you go? You'd go back home. I'm going to find my brothers that did me wrong. I'm going to tell my dad about everything that they did. I'm going to throw them under the bus. I'm going to get my revenge. I'm going back to Canaan land. I'm tired of being here in Egypt where I don't know anybody. If the butler had remembered Joseph earlier, prior to those 2 years, prior to Pharaoh having this dream, God's plan would have been completely disrupted. Do you see God's providence in all of this? Do you see him manipulating the situation, not just for Joseph, but for Pharaoh, for Jacob, for all of Joseph's brothers? Everyone involved, God is controlling this situation in such a way that he's not going to do anything until everything is perfectly in place. Remember what Jeremiah said, but those who trust in the Lord, those who trust in the Lord know that a season of blessing could happen at any time. That's not the only place that we find that in Scripture. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the path of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate both day and night. He will be like a tree that is planted by the water, which brings forth its fruit in season. Psalms 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good, and how blessed is the man who trusts in him. Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Blessings often come during unexpected seasons. And a lot of times when you think things are going bad, that's exactly when God's going to step in and say, okay, here comes your blessing. Here's something else that we see through this passage. Blessings often come from unexpected sources. Places where you never would have dreamed someone else would be involved in this blessing that's coming from the Lord. Let's look at verses 14 through 16. When the butler tells Pharaoh about this Hebrew boy that's in prison that can interpret dreams, look at what happens. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. Right then and there, at that period of time, Pharaoh is the most powerful man in that part of the world. He is in control of everything, but he is also an ungodly man. He's a pagan. He worships false idols, but it's going to be through Pharaoh that God brings the blessing into Joseph's life. Look at what happens. They brought him quickly out of the dungeon. He shaved, he changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. Let me just say this. When God saves you, he changes everything about you. I don't know what Joseph looked like while he was in prison, but it sounds like he was pretty much a mess. They had to shave him. They had to clean him up. They had to get him ready to bring him before the king of Egypt. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream and interpret it. Watch what Joseph says. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me." Blessings often come from unexpected sources, but ultimately we know God is the one who brings the blessings in our lives. Joseph says, "It is not in me." God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. The most powerful man in the world is now reaching out to the least powerful person around, a prisoner. And watch how fast things change for Joseph. His patience and waiting are over. And don't forget about the two dreams that Joseph had at age 17. We think that probably 6 to 7, 8 years maybe. Joseph is in his mid to late 20s at this point. He's 30 years old when everyone in Egypt bows down to him, and he's elevated in Pharaoh's palace. The first dream that Joseph had, his sheep, there were several sheaves in the field. One of them was his, and all of the other sheaves bowed down to him. The second dream Joseph had, the sun, the moon, and the stars all bowed down to him. You know what's fixing to happen to Joseph? He's going to get a gold ring. He's going to get a new set of clothes. He's going to get some bling bling around his neck. Pharaoh is going to put him in a chariot, and he's going to have a parade through Egypt. And what's going to happen is that everybody is going to bow the knee to Joseph. And it all comes through this ungodly man named Pharaoh. Your blessing is going to come at a time and from a source that's going to totally blow your mind. You're going to completely unexpect it. And that's exactly what's happening in Joseph's life. Joseph didn't know when. He didn't know how. He didn't know who would be involved. But now, instead of being treated like a prisoner, he's being treated like royalty. Here's what I really want you to notice. So far, up until this point, God's people are the ones that have treated Joseph harshly. Think about that for just a moment. Jacob, all of Jacob's sons, Joseph's brothers, those are the ones who have treated Joseph more cruelly than anyone else. It's the ungodly people now that are bringing the blessing into Joseph's life. Have you ever met anyone that claimed to be a Christian, but come to find out that person is one of the meanest, grumpiest, rudest people that you know? You ever met anyone like that? The sad truth about all of this is that some of the nicest people you'll ever meet aren't Christians. And that's what we see happening with Pharaoh right here. Joseph has something that Pharaoh needs. Pharaoh has all of the power. Pharaoh doesn't worship the God that Joseph worships. We're fixing to see why God has brought Joseph to this point in time. But this ungodly man is the one that the Lord uses to bless Joseph. Not just Joseph, but ultimately it's going to be all of Joseph's family, the nation of Israel as well. Here's the lesson that you can learn from that. Good people don't go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven. Hell is going to be filled with good people that never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 that on that day, many will come to him saying, "Lord, look what I have done." You know what Jesus is going to say? He's going to say, "Depart from me because I never knew you." Folks, doing good things is not what's going to get you into heaven. The work has already been done through Jesus Christ when he died on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. However, as a Christian, there should be something working in you that changes who you are, how you act, and how you treat other people. The fruit of the Spirit is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. But here's Pharaoh, an ungodly man. He doesn't know the Lord. And he's given Joseph everything that he needs to put him in a position where he can help him out with this situation. Joseph's greatest blessings didn't come from his dad or his brothers. They came from Pharaoh and the butler. But ultimately, they didn't come from Pharaoh or the butler either. God just used them as part of his overall plan. Look at the acknowledgement that Joseph gives to the Lord. In verse 16, he says it. God's going to give Pharaoh an answer. And then down in verse 25, God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Everywhere Joseph went, it doesn't matter who he was talking to, it doesn't matter what situation he was in, he gave God glory. Can you say that about yourself? When Joseph was in the pit, he still trusted in the Lord. When Joseph was falsely accused, he said, how can I possibly sin against God? When he was in prison, he still gave God the glory. He knew that ultimately God was blessing him through other people. Write down this verse, James 1, chapter 17. James says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. You need to understand that blessings often come during unexpected seasons, and they also come from unexpected sources. Here's another thing you need to know. Blessings often come in unusual ways. It's not going to be anything that you ever thought about. What is this dream that Pharaoh had all about? Verse 25, let's look at this. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one. And the seven thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. Say what? We're fixing to have a famine? I thought you were blessing me, Lord. But there's a dry season coming. Joseph said, look, God's fixing to show you exactly what he's going to do. You're going to have seven prosperous years, but in those 7 years of prosperity, you need to get ready because ultimately there's a famine coming. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine will deplete the land. That doesn't sound like good news, does it? Sounds like a pretty terrible situation. But if you'll remember Romans 8:28, when we first started this sermon series, we know that all things work together for the good of them who love God. What does that word all mean? All means all, and that's all that it means. The good times and the bad times. The prosperous years and the famine years. We know that all of these things are working together. Blessings come in unusual ways, even through famines. Verse 31, so the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because the thing established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. 7 years of famine seems like an unusual way to work out a plan. Why is it that we have to endure dry seasons in our lives? Why is it that we have these times of famine? Why is it that we have times when it seems like everything is against us? Why is it that sometimes we have to endure so much pain, suffering, and heartache to see God's hand at work? Because it's in those times that we lean upon God more than we ever would have otherwise. When things are going right, when things are going good, what happens? We take his blessings for granted. As long as these little cakes are out, man, I'm a happy camper. I can go to Walmart and get them all I want to. All year long I'll wait for these things, but when the season runs out, even my little stockpile that I've stored up, when it runs out, there's a time of famine coming. My blessing has come to end, and then I just have to wait patiently because I know that blessing is going to surface again at some point in time. Blessings often come in unusual ways, and sometimes we have to go through those periods of famine. We trust in the Lord. We grow in the Lord. James chapter 1, verse 12. James says this, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Hey, look, if it wasn't for the problems in our lives, we wouldn't know that God could solve them. If it wasn't for disasters like Hurricane Francine, others that we've experienced before, we wouldn't know that there's a group of people just waiting to come help us out, that God is going to use those groups of people to bless us. Blessings often come in unusual ways. If you notice what Janice said, it was a blessing in disguise because God put her in a situation where she found exactly what she didn't know she needed. And that's the way it is with those famines in our lives. When we go through those dry times, God will send people in our lives to tell us something that we didn't know we needed to hear. But in your life, the same way in Joseph's life here, even during this time of famine, even during these crazy dreams, even during these false accusations, God is putting all of the pieces of his master plan in place. And whatever you're going through right now, that's exactly what God is doing. God is putting one piece of the puzzle at a time in place. And guess what? He's not on your schedule. He's got a totally different time frame than what you have. And here's the last thing that we see. Blessings will only come when God sees you are in the right position. When you are ready for it, when God has brought you through that preparation stage, when God has put everything in place, that's when you'll see the blessing come. Now that everything is falling into place for Joseph, watch what happens. In verse 28, Joseph tells Pharaoh what God is about to do. And as I read through this whole narrative of the life of Joseph, there's a lot of questions that come to my mind. Now think about this. If you're in Pharaoh's shoes, think about the position that Pharaoh's in. Is this possibly the first time Pharaoh has ever met someone who loves the Lord? Is this perhaps the first experience Pharaoh has had to hear the testimony of someone who walks in the ways of Jehovah God? Joseph is now in a position that no one else has ever been in. Joseph is now in a position that no one with his knowledge of the Lord has ever been in as well. Maybe God is putting you in a position right now to share your testimony with someone who needs to hear it. Maybe right now God is bringing you through a time of famine to help you meet someone that needs to hear the story about how good God is. Here's what occurred to me. Perhaps God isn't doing all of this for Joseph's sake. Perhaps God is not doing this for Joseph's family's sake. Perhaps God is doing this for Pharaoh's sake. Perhaps God is using Joseph's obedience to expose an entire pagan nation to the good news of who this God is. He is, and what he's capable of doing. Joseph has never been in this kind of position to brag about the God he serves to a lost man. But now he's in a position to receive the greatest blessing ever, sharing the good news of God with the lost person. In verses 16, 25, and 28, Joseph tells Pharaoh about the God he serves. In the prison, he brags about God. In Potiphar's house, he tells them that he can't do this sin against God. Perhaps Joseph had to go through all that he did because God has a message that he wants to make known to as many people as possible. If Joseph would have stayed in his comfort zone back in Canaan, Pharaoh and others would have never been exposed to God's power and his goodness. But now Joseph is in a very unique position, and he doesn't waste the opportunity that he's given. Here's what I want you to see. God wants us to take the message of the gospel outside of the four walls of this church. And sometimes he'll intentionally do things in our lives to get us out of our comfort zone so that we'll tell others about the price that has been paid for their sins. Some of you here today have a story worth telling. You don't think it's a very interesting story, but somebody needs to hear your story. Somebody needs to hear about where you've been, what God has brought you through, how God has blessed you, how God has provided for you, how God has healed you. Somebody needs to hear your story. When's the last time that you've ever sat down and wrote a little story about your life and said, I'm going to tell somebody what God has done for me? And I think that's one of the reasons why Joseph is in the position he's in right now. Think about all of the people through the Bible that God has brought into a different situation for them to expose someone else to this God that we serve. Daniel was taken as a prisoner to Babylon, where he spoke to King Nebuchadnezzar, one of the most evil and vile, wicked kings we see in the Bible. Jonah was forced to go to Nineveh. He was going in the opposite direction, and God said, I've got somebody else that needs to hear about God, and this is the direction you need to go in. The first century church in the book of Acts endured great persecution, but God used that persecution to scatter them and tell others about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul and Silas had to spend the night in a Philippian jail for that jailer and his family to say, what must I do to be saved? Are we taking the message of the gospel to others outside of these four walls? That little rack of blue invitation cards out there is still full. Somebody needs to be invited to come hear the good news of the gospel. And maybe they're waiting on you to drop one of those invitations and give them a personal invite to come join you next week to hear a gospel message. Are we obedient in sharing the good news of the gospel on a regular basis? Or do we remain silent as the world continues to go to hell? Romans chapter 10, verse 15, Paul quotes the prophet Isaiah. He says, how beautiful are the feet of them who bring the good news. Joseph says, I got some bad news. There's going to be a famine. But first, we're going to have 7 years of prosperity in order to get ready for that famine. That is good news to Pharaoh, because now someone knows how to prepare for what's coming ahead. Dr. Chuck Kelly, former president of New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, he said this, and I quote, he said, when God's people do what he requires, God sends revival. Here's what I want you to do. Take your outline, turn it over to the blank side. I got some homework for you this week. You'll get used to it, don't worry. It's nothing that you shouldn't be doing already. Write down a number one. Here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to pray for someone that you can invite to come to church with you in the next few weeks. Sometimes in the month of September, I want you to dedicate this as a Monday morning prayer. James says, you have not because you ask not. When is the last time you prayed about someone that you could invite to be with you here at church? And then I want you to pick up one of those little invitation cards on your way out that's out in the foyer. Put that somewhere where you can pray over it and say, God, who do you want me to give this to? That's the first thing I want you to do. Number two, write down number two. Here's what I want you to do second of all. Bless you. I want you to pray for someone to share your faith with. I know this is big. I know this is something that's going to take you way out of your comfort zone. But it's something that you could very, very, very easily do. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I think if you'll pray about it and be intentional in preparing for it, there are some gospel tracts out there called Steps to Peace with God from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I encourage you to pick one of those up and start reading some of those scriptures. Those scriptures that I use during invitation time just about every Sunday, I do that for a reason, so you will hear them and remember them. A, admit that you're a sinner, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. B, believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. God demonstrated his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. And then C, commit your life to him, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You can do that. You can learn those three easy steps and be ready to share your faith with someone because it's going to come at a time when you least expect it. Now here's the third thing that I want you to do. This is a big one. I'm going to personally challenge you to do. I hope that my inbox, I hate emails, but I hope my inbox is flooded tomorrow. Here's my email. Write down my email. fbcmcpastor@att.net. If you can't remember, there's a little card out in the foyer. You can pick it up. It's got my email address on it. I want you to take the time and type out your testimony. 300 words or less, somewhere around there. It'll take 4 to 5 minutes to share. There's three easy steps to your testimony. Number one, my life before Jesus. Number two, how I met Jesus Christ. And number three, my life after Christ. Those are the three key elements that you need to share when you're telling your testimony to someone. Don't spend too much time on point number one. They want to know more about what God has done for you since you've been saved. Three things you can do this week. Very, very easy. I want to see your, here's what I want to do. I want to read your testimony. I want to help you out in kind of developing a good, short, sweet testimony that you can share with someone at some point in time. All good? All right. How many of you are going to pray about someone that you can invite? Let's see some hands. All right, we should have a pretty good crowd next week. How many of you have never, ever written down your testimony? Let's see a show of hands. You need to write your testimony down. You need to be able to share with someone what God has done with you. What we're reading in the life of Joseph is his testimony. We're reading the story of someone's life that God did miraculous things through. Amen. Everybody bow your heads for a moment of prayer. As we enter into a time of invitation, there's a few things that I want you to really, really consider right now. Here's what Jesus had to say in Matthew 9:38. He said, the fields are white unto harvest. He said, pray that the Lord of harvest, that he might send forth laborers into his harvest. One of the things that I've been praying for is that God would raise up a group of people, an army in this church, that have a bold faith that are willing to go out and share. Look, there's enough bad news in this world today. These people need some good news. They need to hear about what God has done in your life. Your life is living proof that God can change people. and he can do miraculous things, and he can save people. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And if you don't learn any other verse of scripture that you could use along with your testimony, use John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, and whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. I don't know where you stand in your relationship with the Lord. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard that you need to commit your life to the Lord. What's stopping you from doing that? Why would you not turn your life over to the Lord today? We're not guaranteed another breath. We're not guaranteed another day. We don't know how long or how short our life is going to be. Eternity is a long, long time. Are you ready for that day? If you died today, where would you spend eternity? That's a yes or no question. There's no in between. There's no middle ground. It's either heaven or hell. You can't come to me and say, Brother Tracy, I don't know, or Brother Tracy, I think that I would go to heaven. You can say with confidence, I know for sure that Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior. And when I close my eyes in death, I'll be spending eternity with him in heaven. And if you've never made a decision like that, this invitation is for you. I would love to show you how to do that. I would love to show you how you can give your life to the Lord and be committed to him. Maybe you're here today and you are a Christian. You know for sure you've been born again. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you know that heaven will be your home. But maybe it's been a long time since you shared your faith. This morning, today, you don't have to wait till Monday morning. You can wait. You can do this right now. You can come to these altars, this front row of pews, and you can pray, God, help me to be a bold witness for you. Show me someone that I can share starting today. This invitation is for you to make that commitment as well. You don't have to tell me who that person is. You just get along with the Lord. You say, Lord, give me the boldness to be a witness for you. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Thank you so much for your love for us. Lord, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that there's someone out there in Morgan City right now, Lord, their life is hanging in the balance. Lord, there's someone right now that if they died, they would spend eternity in hell. And Lord, we have the good news within us that can change their eternal destination. Lord, I pray that you would send us some warriors, some prayer warriors, some people who are bold about their faith, some people who aren't ashamed of calling Jesus Christ their personal Lord and Savior, that'll go out of the doors of this sanctuary today and be ready to share the truth with someone as soon as possible. Lord, we love you and we just thank you for all that you've shown us this morning. We thank you for this example of how you've blessed Joseph's life and bring him to where he is now. Lord, that he's entering this season of blessings, Lord God, when he and his family will be reunited, when the nation of Egypt and Israel will both be saved through Joseph's obedience. And Lord, right now, that's what you're asking us to be, is obedient. Knowing that you can use us in our obedience, Lord God, to change a course of someone's life that doesn't know Jesus. That's what I'm asking you to do today, Lord God, is to use us and help us to become more obedient to what you're asking us to do. And we just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.